For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered.
Bringing pro football to the Mid-South for nearly two decades.
It's a miracle!
Yes! Good! Touchdown, Titans!
This is Titans Radio. Now on Titans Radio, your chance to talk about the Titans with the head coach. This is the Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Now, the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith.
So glad to have you with us on a Tuesday night on Titans Radio at 877-848-2671. 877-848-2671. If you'd like to shoot us a Twitter question, do so at Titans Radio. That's at Titans Radio. Titans are 2-2. Headed to Miami this weekend to take on the Dolphins. Last year, these two teams met on the exact same weekend. The Titans rushed the football 41 times for 235 yards on their way to a 30-17 win over the Miami Dolphins. That meant the Dolphins were 1-4 at that point, and all they did next was just win 8 of their next 9 games, finish 10-6, and make the playoffs. So the Dolphins certainly rebounded. They are capable of a lot of different things with the talent that they have on offense. We'll discuss that very specifically later in the show with Dave McGinnis, who's been breaking down Miami Dolphin film already. And he says, in spite of the fact that this team has a 1-2 record and an offense that has not really put up good numbers to this point, he sees improvement and he sees them breaking out at some point. We'll discuss that with him further, as everybody listening, I think, or most listening, hope that breakout doesn't occur this weekend. Easy for me to say. 877-848-2671, 877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Titans make a roster move today, signing a third quarterback. He is the nearly 34-year-old sixth-year signal caller out of Oklahoma State. He is Brandon Weeden. Brandon Weeden, of course, coming out of high school, was a second-round choice of the New York Yankees, spent 5 years in their minor league system, and then after that spent 5 years at Oklahoma State. He was a two-year starter then, became a first-round pick of the Cleveland Browns, has played for Cleveland, Dallas, and most recently Houston. He was available and was one of the quarterbacks who worked out for the Titans today. They signed Brandon Weeden to a one-year contract. Here to talk more about that and other things going on with the Tennessee Titans is the head coach of your Tennessee Titans, Mike Mularkey. And, Coach, we were just laying out Brandon Weeden's career. He is just a few days short of 34 years old. He's a guy who has 25 starts in this league. And to a certain degree, this signing was not only about his experience, but his terminology, due to the fact that being in Dallas, he has an understanding, to a certain extent, of what the Titans do. Explain the connection there, if you would.
That's correct. And there's a lot of things we do here that Scott Linehan uses in Dallas. He's the offense coordinator down there. I followed him up in Miami when he left to go to be the head coach in for the Rams. I was I worked for Nick Saban for a year. I ran Scott's offense down there, and some of the things that he was doing I liked and kept him in the system that I brought from Pittsburgh. I thought it was more player friendly, user friendly. Players could come in and understand it much quicker, and so anything I think gives players an advantage, I will adapt to it immediately. And so he does have some familiarity, which is good, because we need somebody to learn our offense, you know, today, be able to play this Sunday if we need him to. And then actually in Houston too, there is some familiarity there too. This offense just comes out of New England, so with Bill O'Brien, and so there that was really the advantage that he had over these other quarterbacks.
Brandon Weeden too, a guy, you know, throws the ball well from the pocket. Has had some success in recent years. As a matter of fact, started against the Titans on December 27th, 2015 for Houston and played quite well in a Texans win.
Yeah, he did. And he's got a lot of experience. That's what we liked. We felt good about him, especially with the workout. TJ Yates, again, was another one quarterback we worked out today. He was in our system in Atlanta, and he was here for a couple weeks, actually, a couple years back. But we felt with, like, just looking at the numbers of starts and the success that he's had based on numbers in his playing time, that he had the advantage.
You need a roster spot, so you let Josh Caraway go, the rookie outside linebacker from TCU, who had a really nice preseason for you and has not been active to this point, but I know he's something, a player that the Titans were very high on. How difficult was that?
Always difficult, especially, you know, somebody that's made the team, has really made a good impression coming this summer with training camp, like you said. We'll try to get him back if we can. At some point, but we really like Josh and what he's done for us.
Walker in Bowling Green, the leadoff caller tonight on the Mike Mularkey Show. Hello, Walker, and welcome to Titans Radio.
Hi, thanks, Mike. Oh, Coach, I'd like to first off send my condolences to Marcus. Hope he gets better and over the course of the couple of days, and hope he can start for us against Miami. But my question is, what is next for the Titans, really? Without a couple first-half starts that haven't been so pleasant, what do you do to look to pick that up, basically, and get the ball moving a little bit?
Yeah, you know, that's an issue. We, you know, it's not always how you start. That's the good thing. We finished pretty strong in a couple of those wins, in our wins that we have. You know, we're playing some good teams. I mean, I don't want to not give them credit. We have played really four very good teams, three of them playoff teams, another one coming up this weekend. And even know that it's going to be a little bit of a struggle based on who they have defensively. So not surprising that we have, but we got to get better. There's no question about it.
You touched on it in your press conference yesterday. A lot of it, particularly early in ball games, is converting third downs and finding a way to stay on the field to build your continuity more quickly.
No question. If you look at the first drive of the Oakland game, the season opener, we converted all the third downs, went down, scored a touchdown. And then that's really been the cause these last few weeks, has been third down. And I'd like to say it's been the opponent, but, you know, we've done some things, falling down on routes, you know, balls being batted, just different things that we have some control over that we got to be better at. Route running, some of the reads. You know, even Marcus, that interception was not a good read on the throw with the coverage they were in. So, I mean, again, a lot of things we got to correct. And again, it's early in the year. We're working on it.
Back to the phones, Christian in Nashville. Appreciate you joining us tonight on the Mike Mularkey Show. Go right ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen, Coach Mularkey. Last year, I was down in Miami for your game, where we obviously had one great game against the Dolphins. My question is with Mariota, a little bit questionable right now. Last year against the Dolphins, we really established the run against them, both with the running backs, with Henry and Murray, and also Mariota. So how important is that in the game plan this week, where you had success running the ball with your quarterback last year? And if you're not going to be able to have that, what will you be able to do on Sunday? Thank you, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Kristen. Appreciate the call. We're still holding out hopes for Marcus. And he was a big factor. You watched our game from last year. Had some big runs in it, not just design, but you know, some out of the pocket where he got forced out and made some big plays. Other guys are going to have to step up. You know, and one of them's Matt Cassel. If Matt's the guy that's got to play this weekend, he's got to step up and make some plays for us and some throws, and we all have confidence in that. He will do that. We've got to find other ways to produce points, and that's what we're doing here these you know, today, tomorrow, and getting ready.
Still the same idea that you had yesterday, that Matt's going to be the number one quarterback in practice tomorrow, and that Marcus, you'll have to just wait until a little later in the week before you know?
Yeah, that's for sure. We're not going to rush him back tomorrow. They're actually meeting right now, all the quarterbacks, with Jason Michael, which they do on Tuesdays when I'm doing this show. Everybody kind of goes and does a, you know, something, getting ready for the next opponent. And so Marcus, you know, he understands what we're doing offensively. It's just a matter of, you know, getting a good start here tonight with it and not being able to practice it tomorrow.
All right, let's take a Twitter question. This is from Mike. Why not play Logan Ryan on DeAndre Hopkins? Why not double team him when he's red hot like he was? At what point do you say anyone but him? Thank you.
And in the second half, we did go to that. You know, the one thing about DeAndre, he's not there's not a lot of routes. If you're looking at the route tree of what he runs, we have a good idea of what those are based on formations, down distance, and we felt like, you know, for reasons I'll keep that we didn't want to really upset the setup that we had with Bedore. We don't want to move him around right now. He's still young, still learning where he's at. But we would do some things differently, and we did in the second half.
All right. Talk about the development of Marcus going from a spread offense to taking a snap under center to his continued progress in the pocket.
Yeah, he's never blinked and flinched at all with the move to going under center. I mean, you'd never, ever know that he did not do that in college. It never has been an issue. I know it was a concern for a lot of people when he's coming out of Oregon. And, that's the one thing that gives us an advantage. We can do both so well, and he does have all that experience in the gun, especially with the gun run game, which is very, very dangerous for defenses. But, he has progressed nicely, especially in the pocket.
Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Phone calls at 877-848-2671. Johnny in Bellevue, thanks for holding, and welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Coach Mularkey, thanks for taking my call tonight. Coach, there's been a cliche used around the league the last few days, maybe the last few weeks, about people just sort of flushing games. I tell you, I was so disappointed. That was a big loss. It was really more of an embarrassment because that was a division game. And, you know, we went down there as a one-point favorite going into that, and we just get blowed out. I just really hope that – I know the team takes this seriously. I mean, we've got – these are big games. This is a playoff-caliber team, and playoff-caliber teams don't get blowed out. It's just hard for me to imagine seeing us do that. So I hope that we can come back next week. But, Coach, how did you think how did you think linebackers played this past week? I thought they were maybe mediocre at best, but maybe talk a little bit about that. And I'll hang up and listen. And good luck in Miami. We'll see you here in a couple of weeks on that Monday night game. That's huge. We have to take the Colts down this year.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks. Yeah, you're right. You are right. That was a big game. We knew it was a big game. We really nobody did well. I mean, I said it afterwards. It was definitely a team loss. Felt very prepared. They played much better than we did in a lot of ways. And we got to get back to basics. You know, we came off a tough loss to those guys last year when we went down there, and it was really it's ironic we're playing Miami this week, same scenario,
same weekend.
But yeah, it was a tough loss, and I think our guys took it personal. And I really do. And we got a lot of guys in there that take pride in what we're doing, and It's on to Miami, but linebacker play could be better. Everybody could have played better. We had some drop coverages that gave them some easy scores.
Your chance to ask questions of the coach at 877-848-2671 or your Twitter questions at Titans Radio as you listen to the Mike Mularkey Show. It's time now for the Pinnacle Moment of the Game on the Mike Mularkey Show. Sign up for a Titans checking account with Pinnacle and you could receive a $200 gift card for Titans gear and an autographed DeMarco Murray jersey. Details at TitansBanking.com. Pinnacle, play hard, bank easy.
Mariota. Play fake, keeps. Running left side, 25-20, 15, 10, 5, end zone. Marcus Mariota, 34 yards, touchdown, Titans.
That's the pinnacle moment of the game. One of two rushing touchdowns for Marcus Mariota. Coach Mularkey updating us earlier in the program about Marcus's status on the hamstring strain. Basically nothing changed. Just another day of rest. Another day of rest to come, and hopefully by the end of the week, maybe good news.
Yeah, we're going to just monitor as we go, and he's getting treatment, you know, by the hour. So we'll see. We'll see.
We were watching tape of that play today, and there were a couple guys that looked like they had angles on him. His speed is something.
Deceptive.
It is really deceptive how fast he is.
Yeah, I think you notice that when he does run it, rarely does he get, you know, if he's not going to take a slide, if guys are chasing him or trying to take a good angle at him, rarely do they take the right angle to get to him because he's faster than you think.
877-848-2671, Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Let's go to Union City and take a call from Kevin. Kevin, we welcome you to Titans Radio. Say hello to the head coach, Mike Mularkey.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Kevin.
I've got two things. Number one, I just wanted to say that I have all the respect in the world for you for everything that you've dealt with this season, and I'm just proud to be a Titans fan.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate you saying that.
All right, number two, I just wanted to ask your opinion on who, if anybody, had a really good game against the Texans, because as fans, it's easy for us to see the negative stuff, but maybe you could talk about some positive stuff that happened this last week.
Well, you know, our special teams, probably if we had a phase that did anything right, it was them. And again, you know, you don't ever want your punter to be the best player on the field, but he had, you know, Brett has really had two unbelievable games for us, keeping dangerous guys from returning it. But I'd say that phase of all three. But other than that, I can't pin, you know, Delaney's always solid. He's you can count on Delaney every game. That's how he is. He's such a competitor. He's so prepared.
Three catches take him to exactly 300 for his time with the Titans. And the 51 yards receiving took him over 5,000 for his career. He's the eighth active tight end in the league with over 5,000 yards receiving. And considering his first 7 years, he was a fullback, H-back.
Yeah, he's a backup. I mean, what didn't even start and nowhere near the numbers he's putting up now. So he's actually, and like, you know, people keep asking about him, he's getting stronger and faster, and you know, it's amazing. He's gotten better every year I've been here.
What do you attribute that to?
He spends a lot of time taking care of his body. He studies. He's a true pro. I mean, he is everything we love here with the dependable. He's tough as nails. I mean, he's blocking better this year than ever before. I mean, he's playing at a high level.
877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Jonnu Smith not as involved in the offense the other day. Was that something the Texans were taking away, or is he not? He didn't catch a pass. I mean, he was certainly involved with blocking. Yeah. But how does he get to the point where he has the opportunity to have a 2-3-4 catch game?
Oh, I think that's any game right now. You know, it really comes down to the progression and who's open based on the coverage. We're not trying to not get him involved. We know what he's capable of doing. And he'll have some of those games. He will. He's playing well for us. He really is. He's blocking. I mean, he knew we put a lot on his plate, and one of it was to block their big ends, whoever we're playing, and he's doing a great job of it.
Ethan and Mount Juliet, so glad to have you with us tonight on Titans Radio. Go right ahead on the Mike Mularkey Show.
Hi, Mike. I wanted to ask a question about Corey Davis's injury. How long will it last? And also, I have a second question: is how is Bryce McCain? Is Bryce McCain going to start in front of Sean Sims this week?
Corey is—he's probably not this week. He's getting closer. He's closer than Cyprian is. I can say that just based on the extent of the injury. But it's not going to be this week. We're coming up. You know, again, now it's a week-to-week thing with Corey. But he is, he's like Marcus. He's in there getting treatment 24-7, trying to get better. So, and he's staying really positive. He came in my office yesterday and sat down for 10 minutes and just talked about even just life. Just, you know, he's such a good kid. But he is keeping up with the speed of what we're doing offensively, at least mentally. I called him out in a team meeting Friday morning and had him have to answer questions about the game plan, and he didn't miss a beat. So I know he's preparing like he's playing every week. And then Bryce will rotate with LeSean. LeSean is just, you know, LeSean started last week. They are rotating again. They rotated a good bit because we had 86 snaps in that game. Unfortunately, you don't ever want to have that against your defense. But LeSean, we're in a defense with three corners in, LeSean will be there.
Does that change in any way the makeup of your Wednesday or Thursday practice based on the fact that the defense played so many snaps?
We'll talk about it as a staff. If weather plays a factor into it as well. We'll see. I'll look at the reps. I always do that before we go out there tomorrow.
Have you taken a look at the forecast for Miami for the weekend?
I have not.
Sounds like rain.
Well, you know what? They've gotten a lot of rain down there.
Yes.
You know, I have a lot of family down there.
Sure.
So it's been raining. It's been raining for this past week, so that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, that's not abnormal for Florida to get rain, but the thunderstorms prediction was just rather shocking, to be honest.
They had a nor'eastern come in through Jacksonville that, again, hit Jacksonville after the hurricane, so they've gotten a lot of water damage again there, so I think it's moving through the state, and probably that's what they're getting right now.
877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. We'd love to hear from you on the program tonight as we talk Titans football. Titans headed to Miami this weekend to take on the Dolphins. We're on the air at 11 a.m. Central, noon Eastern with Titans Countdown. Dolphins in the midst of what will be 16 straight weeks after having their bye in week one due to hurricane situations. And this is their first game in Miami, a difficult situation for them, and they're trying to, it seems like, still get everything on the same page.
Yeah, it's been hard for them because of the situation with Hurricane Irma that came through there. They were stuck out in Los Angeles for the week, couldn't get back in, and then flew back out to New York and then back to Miami and then back out to London. I mean, they've had to deal with some things. Now, their game in London was a home game, but it was still across the ocean. This will be their first one at home. There'll be a great atmosphere there. They'll be ready to play.
The Titans have not been to London yet. Have you done that in any of your stops around the league as of yet?
I was with the Dolphins, and we were the first team that did this London game back in 2007. So, yes, I've done that. I've been to Tokyo. I've been to done the Mexico game. I've done Montreal. I've done Dublin, Ireland. We played the Bears there. When I was with the Vikings, we went to Sweden, played the Bears there. I've been to just about every,
you're the world traveler.
I mean, I've been very fortunate to be involved in a lot of these international games.
What's the biggest challenge about the London game, or coming off the London game, that the Dolphins would be facing this week?
Just the travel time. I mean, it you know, anybody knows it can wear you out just sitting in an airplane. And, you know, you got to be – I'm sure Adam's done a good job of making sure those guys are hydrated. That's another factor, getting dehydrated in the flight. And then actually you're playing down there in that humidity and practicing in that. So I'm sure he's well aware of that. But that's really what I felt like after we played there.
All right, let's get another Twitter question. Coach, it seems like number 13, Taywan Taylor, has been used sparingly thus far. Are there plans to get him more involved? Seems like he can make plays. Thank you. Go Titans.
Yeah, he can. He can make plays, and our opponents know that. So they've done some things. He's playing a good bit. He's in all of our three wide sets, which is our number one personnel grouping after four games by a lot. That's the number one group we have. It's our third down group and 2 minute, obviously, and no huddle. He's just, again, it all plays out of how they play their coverage and who they're trying to take away.
877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Another segment coming up with the head coach as we continue on the Mike Mularkey Show. Last segment of tonight's program, our Titans Radio Game Day analyst Dave McGinnis will join us to talk about the Miami Dolphins. Another segment with the head coach, and we look forward to hearing from you at 877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Looking over the standings after last night, there is one undefeated team in the National Football League, the Kansas City Chiefs. They're 4-0. Mike Mularkey, two-part question. Are you surprised there's only one undefeated team? And are you any bit surprised it's Kansas City?
No, I'm not really surprised there's only one because of the way this season has gone with the wins and losses from everybody. I mean, you look at the schedule every week and you go, that team should be that team, and they don't. It's been a really unique year, in my opinion, and how some things have unfolded. But Kansas City's a good football team. They are. They do a really good job of, especially offensively, keeping teams off balance. And they've got some really good weapons, and the quarterback's playing good.
Their feel is that they just be themselves, at this point, better than anybody. They just do what they do.
Which is really good, and they've got the personnel to do that. very similar styles with you know, trying to deceive defenses, trying to get them to off balance. They do an outstanding job with it, but they've got a very good tight end, Tyreek Hill. I mean, just a weapon every time he touches the ball. And their defense is very good. I mean, you're talking about a team that can be explosive on offense. That defense is playing well.
They've got four big-time pass rushers.
They do. And they've had them for a while. And they're all healthy. And that's the thing. They've got great depth there.
And you'll be pulling for them this week against Houston.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's Sunday night football.
That'll be a good game. That'll be a real good game.
Only four teams haven't won a game. They play one another this weekend, I believe. So we'll go down to two. The parity is just everywhere in this division. Jacksonville 2-2, 1-1 in the division. Houston 2-2, 1-1 in the division. Tennessee 2-2, 1-1 in the division. Indianapolis is 1-3, but you know they're by no means out of anything at this point. And Andrew Luck is about to start practicing, so. You know, it's a 12-game season.
It is. I think there's six teams with three wins and seven teams with two wins. And, you know, obviously we're one of them right in the middle of the pack after a quarter of the NFL season. So there's a lot of football still to go.
Let's go to Bowling Green and take a call from Ty. Ty, welcome to Titans Radio. You're on the air.
Hey, Coach. I appreciate you listening. I was just wondering, there was a couple times last week it seemed like the defensive backs were having some trouble communicating before the play. Ended up being a pretty big play for the Texans. I was just wondering, was it something they were throwing at you guys that y'all hadn't seen before, or was it just miscommunication?
Ty, I appreciate the call. Yeah, you're right in what you saw, that we had some miscommunication, which is not that's not typical of our defense. We got to do a better job. There's no question about it. It did have some of the reasoning behind the breakdown. Our guys are really good at it, and I've said that on this show a lot of times. And we just and they took advantage of it. Sometimes you can have a breakdown and you don't see the opponent take advantage. Ours were pretty substantial, free guys running for touchdowns. So more us than them, and all fixable. That's the good part about it.
With all of the young players playing as much
you got to remember, we got some young guys out there.
That's true.
We got two rookies basically playing almost every snap with a Dory, you know. And don't forget Kevin Byards, 1 year.
Yeah, and Jayon Brown comes in those situations.
Jayon is playing a lot. And, again, that's not an excuse.
LaShawn.
And again, not giving excuses, but we do have some young guys that are playing good football for being in a big game like that. And this is nothing but good, this experience they're getting.
Do you worry about their confidence after a game like Sunday?
Not these guys. No, I don't. I didn't see it in their eyes. I just didn't feel it. I talked to them after the game. I talked to them, you know, Monday when they're in here. I don't see that.
As a coach, what's the balance between getting on players and trying to encourage them after a tough game like that?
You know, I'm going to tell them like it is. I mean, in a tone that they know I care about them, but they need to know that it wasn't good enough. And again, I thought I included coaching as well. I went through all three phases, and I included the coaching staff as far as us not doing a better job of getting us out of. You know, you can't play four quarters like that. At some point, you got to stop the bleeding, and I didn't think we did that, including myself as a coaching staff. So that was like I said, out in the locker room afterwards, a total team loss. But I you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I said it like it is, and the good part is all fixable.
And one of the earlier callers asked something that I thought was interesting, and he mentioned that he was disappointed in the loss, and he had heard the players talking about, we just got to flush this one and get on to the next one. But for the players, what's the balance between taking that loss to heart and also getting rid of it as fast as possible?
Oh, they're pretty competitive players. They'll get rid of it. They understand this league, at least the guys, the veterans in that room. The rookies are around a lot of very good veterans that have played some big games. And just showing them the ropes. You have to get ready for the next one. We, again, like we normally do, we were right into Miami pretty extensively on Monday once we – watch this tape and moved on.
How difficult is it going to be to run against Miami's front seven?
It's a broken record. Another front that's their fifth against the rush right now. Very stout. Sue's playing at a high level. Cameron Wake just seems to he's never changes. You know, again, here's a guy that can rush the passer and set an edge as well as anybody in the league. It'll be a challenge, no question about that.
And Jordan Phillips weighs 335.
Yeah, and he's
pounds.
another guy you got to be able to move. So, tough challenge.
And they've got active linebackers, and then you've got safeties too, like Rashad Jones.
Yeah, and they do a nice job with their safeties. I mean, they use them in run support. They blitz them from both sides, open side and the closed side where the tight end is, and to try to disrupt your run game and make your backs pick them up in the passing game. So they have a good scheme, not real complicated. And that's always a concern when it's not complicated. They're all always pretty much on the same page, and just line up and say, bring it on.
All right, let's get a call from Memphis, and Sean is with us. Sean, welcome to Titans Radio. You're on the air.
Thank you. First-time caller, Mike Keith, love you. And Mike Mularkey, thank you so much for what you've done for the Titans. It's been a joy watching y'all.
Thank you.
Wanted to ask real quickly, when Jonathan Cyprin comes back, you know, with the Dory and LaShawn, like you said, they're young players. It seems like a lot of safeties now are being used in linebacker roles and nickel packages, whatever it may be. I was just wondering, it seemed like in watching the games, one thing that, you know, that really could help out where Cyprin's strengths are is the short passing game out in the flats, over the middle, and things like that. Is there a defense, a base defense, where you might work the three safeties in, Searcy, Byard, and Cyprin, to where maybe Cyprin could be in a linebacker role like a lot of defenses are doing now? What are your plans for him when he gets back? Because he seems like he can be a different maker once his hamstring is healthy. Thanks for taking my call, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. Appreciate the call. Jonathan hits like a linebacker. He is a down in the box type of safety. He can play all around, but what he does best, his strength is being down in the box. And we will play three safeties. We do quite a bit, especially with teams that try to attack us in the run game. We're going to get an extra hat in there and safeties are typically those guys that like to stick their nose in there.
Got time for a couple more calls if you want to phone in like Sean did at 877-848-2671, 877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. I want to correct a mistake. I said that all the winless teams were playing this weekend. That's wrong. I knew when I said it that wasn't right. So why did I say it? Anyway, Chargers and the Giants, two winless teams that are playing one another in MetLife Stadium. The other winless team, the Browns, at home against the Jets, and then the winless 49ers are at the Colts this weekend. So we will certainly go down to at least three winless teams and potentially could be down to just one at this point. But I don't think anybody's going winless in the NFL this year.
No, I don't believe so either. Not the way this league is unfolding in the first quarter of it.
Running back wise, dividing carries, many questions about that. Was it really a factor in Houston because you got behind?
Yeah, really wasn't a factor. We got behind early. I mean, when you get down 21-0, it's hard to establish the run, knowing you got to get some scores to before you run out of possessions. And so it really wasn't a factor at all. We were trying to just get some plays, get some good runs. Hit some. DeMarco had a couple good runs, but nothing like we need to do to be successful.
The bottom line is being able to stay with it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Again, you got to be able to establish it, stay with it. Tough to do when you're down. Your opponent, you know, scores pretty much every drive.
Let's get a question from Twitter, and this is for you, Coach Mularkey. Does the offense become more predictable with personnel changes? Against running all plays with the same personnel. So is it better to stick with the same 11, or is it better to mix it up?
I believe, again, in our offensive scheme, mixing it up, and I know this, my first year in the league, I was on the defensive side, quality control, and I know how frustrating it is to try to identify who's in the game, what they do out of those groupings, especially by down and distance. That's a lot of information. That's a lot of things you have to prepare for when you use multiple personnel groupings. And I know Coach LeBeau's been the league a long time, and I know that's one thing that is frustrating for him is keeping up with what you're in so he can get the right call in.
You have so many different groupings that you use right off the bat. It seems like you're going with five or six different groupings. In doing so, do you figure out the ones that work the best and then reduce those as the game goes on?
Sometimes, yeah. It just depends on really the flow of the game. We go in with a number of, a lot of them. And some of them are not totally different positions. There may be players at those positions, and we count those as personnel groupings because why is Taiwan in for this guy on this play, and maybe it's just a fake something. All eyes are on him because of his explosiveness and his ability to do some gadgets. So we're going to use it throughout the game. Whatever's working early, we'll come back to it.
No matter which quarterback you play, you said basically the pass game stays the same. The big variation is the run game with which quarterback goes.
Yeah, you lose the zone read ability for the most part. That doesn't mean you abandon everything, but you lose some of that with the quarterback change.
I don't think Matt's going to do a lot of zone reading, is he?
I know he would surprise the opponent, and if you saw him around the
there was a point in his life where he certainly could have.
He would argue right now. He'd argue right now that he could do it. So, but there are things you can still do within the read of getting the guys the ball. So, yeah, I'll say it like that.
Well, he's an NFL quarterback, NFL athlete. He's got to be a pretty good athlete.
Yeah, no doubt.
Coach Malarkey, we wish you good luck in Miami. We always appreciate you taking time to come talk with us and talk with Titan fans here on your program.
Thanks, Mike, for having me.
All right, coming up, Coach Dave McGinnis from Titans Radio joins us to start breaking down the Miami Dolphins and talk about what else is going on around the rest of the league. That's next on Titans Radio. The Mike Malarkey Show continues on Titans Radio, and we're now joined by Titans Radio's own coach, Dave McGinnis, our game day analyst. You have already been preparing for the Miami Dolphins. Their offensive statistics are not impressive. They are 1-2, and you are very quickly saying, do not sleep on the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, absolutely do not. I mean, they've got personnel, and I tell you what, Jay Cutler, you watch that game in London, of course, I've very familiar with Cut, all these years where he's been in the league, and believe me, also this Dolphin team, I know the Titans played them last year, this Dolphin team has offensive personnel that can hurt you. They've got people that, you watch that London game, they were moving the football a lot down the field. I mean, it was a flag fest by Ed Hockley and his crew there in London. So you cannot sleep on this offense. That you don't even look at the numbers, look at the tape.
All right, Jay Cutler, a guy you know well, he has not been with them for a long time, is starting to get into the flow of what Adam Gase wants. At some point, they're going to break out, aren't they?
Well, they've been breaking out. You're moving it. I mean, it's penalties. It's missed scoring opportunities. They've moved the ball. But, Mike, you are 100% right. That's why Adam brought him in there. They know each other. He has not been in the flow of what they've done. Plus, let's be honest. I went through it last year moving a team three times in 7 months. They've been disjointed because of the hurricane, this is their first home game. They get settled down now. Mistake the Miami Dolphins for not having personnel that are very capable. They've got it. And what you said, Gase and Cutler have a connection. They've got people. So the Titans are going to have to be on point defensively down there.
Coach Mack, what do you like about Jay Ajayi, the Dolphins running back?
Jay Ajayi, now again, I'm telling you, he's Marshawn Lynch. Now, this is a hard-running dude. He's got a strong lower base. He can catch the football out of the backfield. He's a relentless runner. He's also, he was very upset there in London because he's from London. He wasn't getting the ball. But this guy is a competitor. You don't have as many yards as he's had and not be a player. But he's got, I've defensed him before, made a game plan against him. He's got a very strong lower base. He's very similar to Marshawn Lynch. Now, it's going to take a gang to get him down.
It's good news for the Titans, though. They've seen Marshawn Lynch, the real one, and then three or four other guys who look like that, too. So, fortunately for Tennessee, they're used to going against good backs in 2017.
Well, yeah, and they've done a very good job of stopping them, and it's going to be another one. I mean, that's what this league is, Mike. You've been doing this for a long time. So have I. There's no breaks in this league. I mean, you've got to gear up every week regardless of what has happened the week before, whether you've been successful or unsuccessful, positive or negative, you got to flush whatever has happened. And because this league is a week-to-week proposition, and again, this is going to be a big challenge down in Miami this week.
Dolphins have Julius Thomas at tight end, at wide receiver, Kenny Stills, Devontae Parker. They've got Landry, too. Good receivers going to put pressure on a secondary that did not have a very good game in Houston.
No, absolutely. And they've got a guy that can spin it, too. Jarvis Landry impresses me. I mean, he reminds me of a guy that I'm very familiar with that I drafted that had for a lot of years in this league, Anquan Boldin. This guy is extremely strong over the middle. They've got weapons offensively. Again, just as you said. And Jay Cutler, he can spin it, put it where he wants to. Again, as I say, this is going to be a big challenge, and this is a big game for our Tennessee Titans here. They need to, and they will be ready to go, but this is not going to be anything easy.
The head coach, Adam Gase, runs the Dolphins offense. The defense is run by a name that many Titan fans will probably recognize, and with good reason. His name is Matt Burke. Share his background, if you will.
Well, Matt got his start in the league right here at the Titans. Matt was my assistant, you know, when I was the linebacker coach and assistant head coach here for Jeff Fisher. Matt was my assistant for a lot of years before he stepped out on his own. They also hired from the Rams staff last year as their assistant head coach, linebacker coach Frank Bush. They're running a 4-3 defense. I am very familiar with the defense that they're running, and believe me, their mindset, because I know the way that Matt Burke was brought up in this league when he came up underneath Jim Schwartz and myself here, he's going to stop the run, and I know what Frank Bush is about as a linebacker coach. Frank has got Lawrence Timmons back now that made a big impact last week. They've got a formidable defensive front seven. They're going to load up to stop this run game, so it's going to be a very, very physical game to start with, but again, as I say, very familiar with Matt Burke, very proud of what he's done with his career, and I know that they're going to be very aggressive defensively in this game.
And they've got personnel in the defensive line, too.
No, absolutely. As I say, this front seven they've got, especially with Timmons coming back, that was a big offseason acquisition for him, for them. I know that Frank Bush has liked him, you know, in his career when he was there at Pittsburgh. It was a big offseason addition. He had a little bit of a hiccup early on, you know, but now he's back with the team, and he played very, very well last week. I mean, this guy's a real player. Their front seven's a problem that the Titans are going to have to deal with.
Dave McGinnis, how tough a week is it for the Titans not knowing who the quarterback is going to be Sunday in Miami?
Well, again, you've got a veteran staff. They'll get it figured out. But the whole thing is, again, Mike, having been in this league for 32 years, I mean, I've come into Mondays, you know, when you've had good success. I've come into Mondays when you've not been successful. Your mindset's got to be the same. You've got to be very honest, correct what went wrong, but then jump forward, because nobody waits for you in this league. And I'm talking about the next game is the most important game. They will be fine because of the veterans that they have on their coaching staff, the veteran leadership they have in their locker room. They need to get it fixed.
Brandon Weeden signed as an extra quarterback today. What is his role during the week for the Titans?
Well, it's going to be, you know, you're going to have to see where Marcus is, see what he can do. Because clearly, you know, they felt like they wanted to bring a veteran quarterback in here. He'll come in here, get familiar with the system. And then, again, it will all depend on how Marcus is and what his development is and his prognosis is during the week.
But getting Matt Cassel ready is job one starting tomorrow, right?
Oh, absolutely. And Matt Cassel will be ready. He's been here. He knows the offense. He knows what's going on. And again, as I say, that is the real benefit, Mike. I can't emphasize enough of having a veteran coaching staff that's been through a lot of things that can happen. You've got to be ready to adjust in this league. When you've got a veteran coaching staff, that's one of their strengths. They can adjust.
Big thing for the Tennessee Titans, as the tape has been scanned during the week and talking with members of the team, members of the scouting staff, members of the coaching staff, is, hey, first three games we played good ball. Even though lost to Oakland, won the next two, good ball overall, a lot of good things. Titans very out of character with how they went about their business on Sunday in Houston. Get back to doing your job, play fundamentally sound, don't try to do too much, and let's just put that game aside and make it where at the end of the year we look back on it and say, you know, that was an outlier. That was an anomaly.
No, absolutely. And that's, I mean, that has to happen in this league, because as you look at it sitting here at 2-2, every goal that they had in place from the start of this season, it's still out there in front of them. The division is still there. Everything is still there. But you have to be able to put this behind you, but put it behind you honestly. Put it behind you honestly. And what I mean by that is you honestly address what has happened. You honestly addressed why you weren't successful. You know why you've been successful in the past, and then get to work and be able to flush it. And everything is pointed towards this ball game, because there's nothing like a win in this league to make everything sync up and get back in place. So that's where everything has got to be pointed. Once you honestly assess what happened where you weren't successful, then you move forward, and you got to move forward quickly, mentally and physically.
You don't expect to see the Dolphins that we saw losing to the Saints in London and losing to the Jets the week before.
What you got to do is you take the score out of it, you grind the tape. You look at the tape, you look at the matchups, you look at the personnel, you look at what they're doing, and that's how you break down an opponent. That's what this team will do. Forget about the scores, watch the people, watch who you have to defend, and then get back to doing what you do well. You get back in character, and then that usually takes care of itself.
After all, they started 1-4 a year ago, and Miami ended up in the playoffs.
Well, and again, you know, whatever happens last year, I mean, those types of things, and people like to point towards, well, this happened. It's what happens this week that is important. Grind the tape, get set up, get a mindset, get a great week of practice here, and then let's go win a ball game.
Coach Mack, we'll see you there.
Okay, Michael, thanks.
Dave McGinnis with us on the Mike Mularkey Show, that's produced by Brandon Hagerty. Traffic Director Anna Jones, Director of Sales Hunter Rice, Operations Manager Charlie Cook, General Manager Allison Warren, and the Executive Producer of Titans Radio is Rhett Bryan. For Mike Mularkey and also Dave McGinnis, Mike Keith says thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time. Good night, everybody.
The Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered. Get the info you need for this week's game at TitansRadio.com. This is Titans Radio.